COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Matt Fry on LBC.
Well, as we discussed at the beginning of the program, so much of what happens in the world outside America happens because of electoral or political requirements inside the United States. President Biden made a promise to pull out of Afghanistan, although he perhaps did not foresee the chaos that has unfolded, or perhaps he did. Some people claim this was all planned. He knew exactly what he was doing. He just doesn't really care, because he famously was the only member of the Obama cabinet who voted against the surge of 120,000 troops back in 2010. He was speaking last night to the White House, was President Biden. He said that America had already rescued 13,000 people to date in what he called one of the largest and most difficult airlifts in history. Well, it's probably going to get more difficult and even larger, looking at the numbers of people that are trying to get to Kabul airport at the moment. Let's go straight over to Simon Marks, our Washington correspondent. We got you up early again, Simon.
Happy to do it, Matt. Morning to you. How are you?
Fine. What a week this has been.
Absolutely. I mean, a shattering week for all of those Americans and those people internationally who looked at the presidential election last year and thought that of the two candidates on display, Joe Biden was actually the competent one, the compassionate one, the man who absolutely wasn't going to spark a national security crisis through his own sort of pig-headed decisions. And ultimately, this week, that's where Joe Biden finds himself. Much as he would like to control the narrative and make sure that everybody is talking about the fundamental decision to pull troops out of Afghanistan and end America's longest war, which he believes is going to play with what he describes as the American public. I mean, I'm not entirely sure anymore that there is a single American public with whom these things play, but nevertheless, he's appealing essentially to people who have not followed Afghanistan particularly closely over the last several years, people who are not particularly informed about what is even taking place there now. And he's hoping that at the end of the day, they will say, well, it was worth it because we got the troops out and we ended the war. And yes, there was a nasty bit of mess on the way out, but at least we got them out. But what he's also doing is himself now spreading misinformation. Take a listen to what he said yesterday behind that microphone at the White House.
To the best of our knowledge, the Taliban checkpoints they are letting through people showing American passports. Now, that's a different question when they get into the rush and crowd of all the folks just outside the wall near the airport.
Now, his defense secretary suggests that that is simply untrue, because around the moment that Joe Biden was articulating that at the White House, members of Congress were saying, hang on a second, we just had the defense secretary on the phone, and he said Americans are being beaten up by the Taliban at the airport. They're being turned away, and the American government has communicated to the Taliban that this is unacceptable. And then Joe Biden engaged in sort of complete revisionism about what has happened to the United States on the international stage over the course of the last week. I'm sure everybody listening to this saw excerpts of the British parliamentary debate on Afghanistan, in which Joe Biden was condemned and excoriated by members of the House on all sides. And that's been repeated all over the world. And yet the President of the United States yesterday says,
I have seen no question of our credibility from our allies around the world. This is where we should be. This is about America leading the world. And all our allies have agreed with that. And by the way, before I made this decision, I was at the G7, as well as met with our NATO partners. And I told them all, every one of them knew and agreed with the decision I made to jointly end our involvement in Afghanistan.
So if you're going to say it was my fault, I'm going to say it was our fault collectively, was the message from the President of the United States. But you heard in there an almost, you know, this almost sort of extraordinary degree of cocky self-confidence. He was talking at points in the press conference about no other country in the world could project this much military power on the airport in Kabul, as though this is all something to be proud of. It's an extraordinary set of circumstances in which he finds himself.
And this is the president who I saw in Cornwall in June at the G7 say, rather effectively it seemed at the time, America is back. You know, he wants to be the champion of global democracy.
Yeah, well, I mean, he can kiss goodbye to it. I mean, that is now completely over. Imagine what's going to happen when the United States, never mind next week's virtual G7 leaders summit meeting. Imagine what's going to happen when the United States walks into COP26 in Glasgow and says, right, we're in charge here. Let me tell you what we're going to do on climate change. Imagine Joe Biden's just recently announced December Summit for Democracy, in which he is allegedly putting together a coalition of liberal democracies that are going to stand up to Russia and China on the world stage. We've had State Department officials here insisting this week that America's alliances, tarnished though they have been by the president's behavior over the last 10 days, are the envy of the world, and America's competitors and challengers on the world stage, Russia and China, are suffering from a bad case of alliance envy. I mean, really? Is that really what they believe, or are they simply, you know, as they say in America, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade? They have nothing else that they can point to defend a situation in which American power, frankly, has been humiliated over the last 2 weeks.
So tell me what's going on here. Is this President Biden, you know, slightly cranky, a little bit chippy? You know, the guy from Scranton, Pennsylvania, who hates being told what to do by kind of the Ivy League staffers all around him. Is this him talking? Or is this, you know, a focus group in the White House saying, actually, the people of Iowa or Kentucky don't give a damn about Afghanistan. Let's bring the troops home. That plays better electorally.
I think both. I think, first of all, this is a president who has a completely misplaced degree of self-confidence about his own foreign policy capacities. After 50 years in the trenches, former head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, former vice president of the United States, even though America's former defense secretary, Robert Gates, famously claimed in his memoirs that Joe Biden has been on the wrong side of every national security argument for four decades. This is a man who won't be challenged when it comes to his knowledge of foreign policy issues. And we saw that in the run-up to this. Every time Joe Biden appeared before reporters, he sort of bristled with indignation, almost even at the concept that these reporters in the room, who he clearly thought knew substantially less about international affairs than he did, had the temerity to be challenging his decision-making process on Afghanistan. But I think there's something else at play, and that is that Joe Biden himself, and certainly the people around him, know that they have completely lost the intellectual class in the United States. They've lost the Beltway. They've lost the foreign policy pundits, the political analysts, the people who thought this was all going to be different, that we had seen an end to dissembling from government ministers and government spokespeople, that when he said he was always going to level with the American public and be straight with them, well, at least you could trust that. That's gone. And so what Joe Biden is left with now is the need to appeal to uninformed Americans and to try and persuade them now that let's not argue about the military operation and the botched nature of the withdrawal and the risk that he has placed now, not just 6,000, 7,000 US troops at the airport, but all of those unknown thousands of Americans still in Afghanistan, because the White House has no idea how many Americans are in Afghanistan. Never mind all of that. Just acknowledge that you thought we needed to bring this war to an end, and I was the man who did it. And that's where they're going to try and take the argument. He tries to turn the conversation in that direction at every turn, because it's all he's got left.
And just briefly and finally, Simon, is on this issue at least, is Joe Biden President Donald Trump without the tweets?
Well, I've certainly heard from people over the last few days who voted for him and now say they regret voting for him, and in some cases say, arguably, he is better than his predecessor, but they now consider it arguable. And also, Matt, let's just also underscore, Afghanistan's not his only crisis. COVID-19, the return to school that is about to begin all over the United States, the fact that he's still got, through no fault of his own, to be fair, 85 million Americans who are unvaccinated, and this week also said to the rest of the world, I don't care about this argument about booster shots and vaccine equity. We're going ahead with a third booster shot, spurning approaches from the World Health Organization and others to slow that down. Certainly indicates that he's an America first president, even if he doesn't use that particular moniker.
Simon Marks, our Washington correspondent, as ever, thank you very much indeed. And after the break, we'll speak to the former advisor of President Ashraf Ghani. He joins us next. He's the president. She is the former advisor, but he is the president who left the country on a plane last weekend, handing over power to the Taliban. That's all coming up. I'm Matt Fry. This is LBC. The time is 12:45.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Ian Payne.
One of the main Taliban leaders has arrived in Afghanistan. Coming up after 1 o'clock, I'll speak live to an activist there who's on the run from the Taliban.
Ian Payne on LBC.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.